So this year, I'm really focused on my health, sticking to a routine, and that's why I've been loving Symbiotica. Symbiotica is one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies out right now, and they're one of the only brands that are wholly committed to your health. They don't use any seed oils, no preservatives or toxins in their supplements. They source the best ingredients from all around the world, and they're super easy to take when you're on the go. They also taste good.
I try to stay really consistent with my morning routine, and something that I always include is taking my supplements every single day. I've been taking these Symbiotica supplements and loving them. My goal has been to support my immune system with the supplements that I've been taking, so I've been taking them every morning with my coffee and my breakfast. Joe does as well, and I've been really loving the results that I've been seeing.
My routine, I have my eggs in the morning, I take a Symbiotica, and I'm ready to take on the day, hit the gym, I'm more alert. I just feel good. What's even better is that Symbiotica makes it a breeze to stay on track. With a subscription, your supplements arrive at your doorstep every month. Ready to feel the results? Head over to Symbiotica.com and use Bachelor for 15% off your subscription order.
I think when you're in a relationship, being able to travel with somebody is like one of the best things you could do.
I agree. I think some of our best memories together are exploring new places and relaxing somewhere on a beach.
So we've been working with the brand Beachbound Vacations to find our next perfect beach vacation. And instead of spending hours searching for your perfect beach, take the perfect beach finder quiz and let Beachbound do the heavy lifting for you. Go to beachbound.com to get started today. I mean, I love it. I can't wait for our next vacation.
To get started, go to beachbound.com, click be the first to try, and then select take our quiz.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back, Happy Hour listeners. It was another crazy week here on The Bachelor. And it's so weird to think that we're already down to just three women left.
I know, the season has flown by. I mean, we're pretty much almost at the finale at this point. But with Hometowns behind us and Fantasy Suites coming up next, it is no surprise that last night's episode was definitely intense and filled with surprises. And someone who knows how intense the Bachelor journey can be, other than you and I, Becca, is our guest today, Teddy.
Yes, I'm so excited. I'm so ready to talk to Teddy. I mean, obviously, she was like one of the front runner since night one. We have so much to go over with her. But before we get into it and bring her on, we just have to get into last night's episode. And as you know, you got to kick it off with our favorite fashion moments.
Woo!
I love your dance with that. I don't know what my singing was with that one, but
Hyping you up. I love it. All right. I'm going to break things down slightly differently this week just because we do only have four women and they are all dressed so well. So I'm going to give just a couple individual pieces that I loved versus giving out a full look. So for the night portion, Gabby's black boots. Oh my God. I think I'm going to DM her today and ask her where she got them from. Yeah. They are amazing. Mm-hmm. I've been looking for boots like that, so I genuinely want to know where she got them. And then in terms of outfit, I loved Rachel's knit black wrap dress. I thought she looked really cute, comfortable. She dresses so well. Everything is very flattering on her, I find. So yeah, I want the knit dress and I want to pair it with Gabby's black boots. And then for our day look, I'm going to give a shout out to Susie's pink coat. I'm pretty sure she wore this in Vienna, but I loved it. It's such a beautiful color on her. And Serene came in with this gorgeous cream knit sweater, some gold jewelry, and her lashes. Oh my gosh, did you see this shot from overhead when she had the helmet on? I think there was like a GoPro on their helmet. There was an overhead shot of her and her lashes were like absolutely perfection, like so long. I almost paused it.
This is the difference between you and I. You are so good at paying attention to detail, and I pay zero attention to stuff like that. So that is something I would have never, ever noticed.
I was like, are these falsies? Are they lash extensions? I need to know. Are these natural? What serum is she using?
We can get the info from her.
I want it. I want the info. And then for the rose ceremony, Susie had a great sparkly hoop accessory, but her best accessory was those Louis Vuitton shoes. Did you catch that she was wearing those?
Oh, did I ever? That was my rose from last week.
Yeah, she was wearing them to the rose ceremony this week. I caught a little glimpse of the red bottoms. I couldn't decide whose dress I liked better, Gabby's or Serene's. Serene had this like really beautiful cross back navy gown on, but I think I'm gonna have to go with Gabby's just because I really haven't seen anything like it on the show. I feel like it's House of CB. She wears them a lot and it just looks great on her. I love the cut, I love the color, I loved her like chic slick back hair. So I think Gabby's gonna take the rose ceremony look for me this week. Mm-hmm.
Those four women, they all dress impeccably. I do have to say though, for Teddy's nighttime look, along with the boots, I just loved her whole outfit. Like, she looked great. It is definitely something that I feel like
Gabby's.
I would have worn, like, I just loved that whole thing. So I was like, I hope Serena calls this out.
Yes, I loved it.
Let's get into the episode because, of course, it was, I would say, the most serious part on this entire season so far. Hometowns always are. It's like such a game changer each year when you finally bring family and friends into the mix. Some of my key moments, I have to say, first of all, I have to call out Susie. Just with sharing her father's story, that one hit home for me personally. So it was just really special to hear. But I cannot not talk about my favorite person who I would have loved to see more in this episode, who I would love to see in every season, who I would just love to have be in my life, part of my family.
I know who you're going
to
say.
Gabby's grandpa.
Yes.
We have to give it up to the grandpa himself. He was incredible. I'm already obsessed with him. I want to get him on the podcast.
I love him so much. I want him to also be my grandfather. The fact that she told them about the sit on your face joke and the grandpa was like hysterically laughing, was like, oh, you Gabrielle, you're just,
yes.
I was like, what is going on? I'm obsessed with you.
Well, you see where she gets her sense of humor.
Yes.
And I love that. And it, like, there was one moment where I think her and her grandpa sat down, and of course it's going to be a serious conversation, but they sit down and he made the comment of like, something along the lines of like, I don't know what's wrong with Clayton for keeping you around this long, or something sarcastic that was just so fun loving. And I now see where she gets it from. And it was just such a pleasure for me as a viewer to get to know him a bit. I want more of him. I love him.
He was the absolute family all-star of the entire episode. I'm going to give runner-up to Susie's dad because he was also just the coolest dad. Like, he was like, you know, I trust my daughter. She is the best judgment ever. Whatever she says, whatever she wants goes. But yeah, Gabby's grandpa was the number one.
Took the cake.
I will say, though, and I feel bad shitting on this moment because if anything, I actually got emotional watching it. It was a beautiful moment. But could they have hinted harder that Gabby's dad was going to show up on that hometown date?
Oh, I know.
I feel like any chance they got, it was like, I just wish my dad was here. I was like, Gabby, I'm certain he is coming. And then they stole right from Love Actually, the whole
cast
thing.
Yes, I know. One other thing was, I want to touch on Serene's hometown because how the hell, I feel like her brother has to be on the show, right? Like, we need to get him on at some point.
I want him. I mean, is he single? That wasn't his.
That's what I was wondering.
Girlfriend or partner, wife, right? Because there was a female there, but I didn't know if it was her best friend or his.
I don't know.
He was with her. Again, if he's single, get him on the show.
I don't pay attention to details, so I don't know. I can't answer that one. But yeah, overall, your standard hometowns.
Yeah.
I guess I want to.
What do you
ask,
think of Rachel's dad?
I will say I appreciated him because I feel like realistically, I know, like, people are going to be hesitant, I'm sure, if any family member or a friend goes on the show. I get that. And I understand, like, I remember during my hometowns on The Bachelor, like, my uncles and my mom questioned me hard. And so I appreciate him not, like, letting the hype and this fame of the show get to him at all. obviously was very uncomfortable for Clayton, but I feel like it could have gone worse with him. I feel like going in, it was going to be way worse. And I was like, this really wasn't that bad with his dad.
100%. And I feel like the way that him and Rachel interacted, you're like, okay, you're tough, but like, she loves you and doesn't seem like scared of you in any way. Like, they seem like they have a really good relationship. And like, right. He patted him on the arm at the end. So I was mm-hmm. like, this all worked out. Mm-hmm. Did you have any like really tough hometowns when you were a bachelorette?
No. No, I didn't. I actually had a lot of fun that week because I know it was supposed to be so serious, but I went into it with no expectations, just like wanting to be myself and have fun and get to know the families. Cause I was like, I might be part of one of these families one day. So none of them were really tough. All of them were so fun. I had such a blast. It was like one of the weeks where I actually had more downtime because you're traveling so much, where I like was able to catch up on sleep and like relax a bit more. And I loved it because the guys planned the date this time. So it was like stress-free for me. I didn't have to do anything besides show up and have a good time.
Yeah, that's true. I can see that. As being, and I feel like it's like I don't know why, I could be wrong on this, but I feel like the bachelors always get a bit of a harder time on the hometown dates than the bachelorette, because you get like the protective dads or just the protective parents being like,
right,
do not be taking advantage of my daughter.
Yeah Oh, for sure. And I feel like just in general too, the bachelors, when they're leads, just tend to also get more hate and criticism throughout the board, you know, not even with the families, but on social media. It's just, I think people are so much more harsh on the men for whatever reason. And so, I feel like I had pretty smooth sailing, so I can't, no complaints here. I want to ask you before we bring Teddy on though, with these last four girls, did you expect Serene to go home, or who were you kind of thinking it might be her last week?
I literally have written on my notes, and I'm sorry, this is harsh, but this is what I wrote down. Serena is 100% going home.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. I was like, honestly, from the first 3 minutes into her one-on-one date, I was just like, oh, like, I just get the vibes. Like,
yeah.
I really like her, and I think that they had a wonderful friendship, and he had a lot of, like, respect, and she's obviously stunning. But the romantic connection for me watching with Clayton and Serene was, like, way behind where it was with the other three women.
Right. I was going to say, at the very beginning of the date with Gabby, I was like, she might be the one going home, only because she is so funny and comedic all the time that I was like, I wonder if they can like really get to the point after tonight of where they should be. And right away, like, I think with meeting the family, it was there. So I knew after her date, I was like, okay, Gabby's good. So I started to sense Serene. But, you know, sometimes there's wild cards. You truly never know going into that week, especially with the families.
I liked her date, like, activity probably. I actually thought all the date activities were pretty fun. They were all, like, very outdoorsy and active and, like, awesome ideas. But we had a ropes course at Nemacolin, and every single week we were like, who's getting the ropes course date? Like, everyone wanted to do the ropes course date.
They're so fun.
But it looked so much fun. It was so fun to watch. And they looked like they were really enjoying each other's company. But, yeah, I felt for her. But I think hopefully watching it back, she's going to be able to see that her connection maybe just wasn't where she thought it was in comparison to the other women.
For sure, definitely. Okay, before we bring Teddy on, the weeks are changing. We are obviously dwindling down. We only have 3 women left. But before we get into the fantasy suites, we actually have Women Tell All that's airing next Monday. And Serena, I can't wait to see what goes down. I already know it's going to be a wild, crazy night with all of the women. If it's anything on par with this season, it's going to be an episode that we will have a lot to recap on the next day. So I can't wait for that.
I can't wait either. I am so excited to watch and see all of the drama once again unfold.
Whew. We're going to have to load up on wine for that one, I think.
Or Bordeaux.
I will send you some Bordeaux just for the Women Tell All. Until then, though, we have to talk to the woman of the hour. She was the first impression rose recipient and somebody that was catching my eye since the beginning, who we thought was going all the way, I would say. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's bring on Teddy to Happy Hour. Well, Teddy, welcome to Bachelor Happy Hour. We've been wanting to get you on here for so long, and it's great to finally have you. I just want to start out by checking in on you. Obviously, so much has transpired in these past few months mm-hmm. since you filmed and came back from filming and now watching all of this season unfold. So how have you been?
I'm doing good. First of all, I've been begging to meet you guys for so long, so I'm happy to be here.
Welcome.
It really was a whirlwind. I just watched the ending. So yeah, it was a crazy thing coming from watching that first episode where it was going so great and kind of just watching, you could say, my downfall throughout these next few weeks. So it's been crazy, but the sport has been amazing. I wasn't really expecting that. So overall, like, I'm just so thankful for this experience.
How is it watching yourself back? Because I mean, Serena and I know it's never very fun. It's always kind of uncomfortable. Like, what is that for you? Do you hate listening to your voice?
Yes.
Do you hate seeing every, like, all the interactions?
Yeah, I say like a lot. The world has not been afraid of telling me that. I also pronounce as T's, and everyone is so mad that I say Clayton. I pronounce my T's very much. So like, listening to my voice is hard sometimes, but I think the biggest thing is just watching me kiss. I like completely forgot about the cameras. So watching myself.
That's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing when you're filming.
It's good when you're filming, but not watching it back, because then you're like, ah, like, why are you on a pool table?
Yeah, Teddy, the people want to know, what is your hair routine?
Oh, I get that question so much. I use a brand called InnerSense. I think like the main thing that curly hair people need to do is put their hair products in the shower when their hair is still wet. I think a lot of people do it when they get out of the shower, but your hair has to be like really like soaking wet still when you put in like your leave-in products. That's like my biggest tip.
That is a good tip.
It's working.
I actually
for you.
Do
it
know that
so
tip and I neglect it. And that is why my hair looks dry 50% of the time.
I love your hair. No, it doesn't. It never does. You guys both have great hair.
But okay. But I know what you're talking about, because when I do take the time to be like, I'm just going to let my hair be drenched and dripping down my back with my leave-in products in, it does look so much better. Okay, I want to take it way back. Obviously, we have seen your exit, but I want to go back to the first episode, because we saw so much of you in that first episode. We saw your exit, your beautiful dress. But most importantly, we saw you get that first impression rose. So we know that you made a first impression on Clayton that was definitely memorable. Can you tell us what his first impression on you was?
Ooh, yeah, I think we were both putting a lot of pressure on that moment. I wanted to feel a spark right away, and I definitely did. I think the thing that he always said to me was he just felt so comfortable with me, and I did with him too. Like that first night together, it really felt like we had already known each other for a while. And like, I think a lot of girls felt that way, but our connection was just really strong right from the get-go. It was never awkward. Like we never had like awkward silence or moments where we didn't know what to talk about. So I think we both just felt very safe with each other very early on.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this, because people have mentioned there's a curse with the first impression rose in terms of The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. I feel like when it's a bachelorette season, they're pretty good about handing out that
the
rose.
Women know.
The women know, right? And the guys, you know, men are men.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
There's a lot to look at that first night. Did you feel like at any point, I mean, obviously, I'm sure you were thrilled to get that first impression rose, and you probably felt so seen and special, but did any part of you feel like it's a little cursed, or like there was this target on your back at that point?
That first night, no. That first night when I got it, I just felt so good. I really was like, I think I'm going to get engaged at the end of this. But I think honestly, 24 hours later on that first group date, I was like, oh, I don't know. I will say there is a curse on it on The Bachelor. I think there's just a lot of pressure. You put so much pressure on yourself. And I'm sure he was too. And I think you just feel the lows so much more. Like we came from such a high. So then I feel like that next day when he was getting to know so many other women, it did just feel even lower, because you just felt like it was just the two of you there that first night. I think also I think he gained a lot of confidence in our relationship early on with that first impression rose. And I think because of that, I was a little bit on the back burner in the beginning, and he was getting to know the other women, which he should have been doing that. But I think at that point it did just come up too late. Our one-on-one was like really late. And I think it was because he just was so confident in where we were at. But then it just, you know, it was too late for us.
So then how did that feel for you kind of week after week?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure after that first impression rose, you're like, oh,
yeah,
there is a one-on-one in my near future. Or at least that's how I would
feel. I felt that way too.
Yeah. So then week after week, you're like, okay, it's not my turn yet. It's not my turn. Did you hit a point where you're like, what the heck is going on? Where's my one-on-one date?
Yeah, I did.
And like, how did you just kind of keep pushing yourself through those group mm-hmm. dates until your one-on-one came later in the season?
Yeah, I could tell early on that the one-on-ones he was giving to the girls were girls that he felt very strongly about. Like right off the gate, that one-on-one was Susie. Every week it was a girl that he had a really strong connection with. So I couldn't even say in my head like, oh, he's just trying to get to know the girls that he doesn't really like that much. And he's just, you know, mine will come later. Cause I was like, no. He started right off the bat with a girl he had a strong connection with. So it was really hard every week. And again, like, I didn't think I deserved it more than anyone else. But I think because I knew our connection was so strong, I just felt like, well, he should want to spend time with me because it seems like we really like each other. Like, he would want, like, a one-on-one with me, too. Mm-hmm. So I was starting to lose steam a little bit near the end before I got my one-on-one. I think what made me continue to push forward was our individual time together. He was very validating and I always felt good. So I was losing confidence, during like the day portion of group dates, but every night he would like validate me again. And he always would tell me, I just feel so great about us. Like our time will come. And that was kind of where I continued to feel confident. My time with him alone individually was always amazing.
So I want to ask you this in hindsight now, do you wish, if you had two options, do you wish you would have received that first impression rose or the first one-on-one date?
Ooh, I think if I would want, I would say probably the first one-on-one. But that's just me personally knowing my personality. I think it could be different for different girls, but I didn't have like a lot of confidence going into it. So I think week by week, not getting that individual time with him, it was hard to know if I could actually see a future with him outside of there. And when a girl would come back from a one-on-one, they would be all in. And I couldn't feel that way because I didn't have hours to spend with him at that point.
Right.
So I think if I would have had an early one-on-one, I would have been more confident the rest of the way through. And I would have been all in a lot more quickly like the other girls were.
Yeah,
yeah, I get that. I feel like, go ahead, Becca.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask you, Serena, when did you get your first one-on-one with Matt?
I was week two. Mm.
So okay, like so you were still early on.
Yeah. So it was Brie and Sarah. So we had two one-on-ones our first week.
Oh, wow.
And then I got the one-on-one, the only one-on-one our second week. So mm-hmm. I was the third one-on-one second week. But yeah, definitely early on. And like, I will say, like, it feels as though there is somewhat of an advantage having earlier one-on-one dates. I know Abigail from my season had a similar-ish experience to what you had where she got the first impression rose and then she actually never got a one-on-one date. And I know that she expressed it as like almost a tease because it really boosted her confidence in that he felt the connection that she felt. And then every week to not get a one-on-one, it was almost like, well, I'm confused. Like, it felt like a mixed signal in a way.
Sure.
I don't know if you felt
that
way.
That's exactly how I felt. And I've talked about it on the show. I do take a while to trust men in general. And I'm very big on your words matching your actions. And I think every week his words being so validating and so much like, I just can't wait until we get closer to the end. Like, we'll get so much time together. But I was like, well, you're the bachelor. So if you want more time with me, you can give it to me. So I think that's kind of where mm-hmm. it was hard, where I did feel like he was kind of teasing me with his words, but then not having his actions match that. And again, like all the girls that got the one-on-ones were so deserving. But I just was like, well, you can give me a one-on-one if you want to. mm-hmm. So I was a tease for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, and just speaking from my experience, it was a little bit different because I was lucky enough to get that very first one-on-one date. So I established the most time right away. But I probably experienced something similar to you where you start on such a high and you're like rolling. And then you get on the group date and you're like, oh, wait, but I'm not the only one here. And now I have to watch him divide his time between other people. And it's really difficult. Yeah. It's like you're trying to move forward in a relationship. But sometimes in the sense, especially on group date after group date, it's like you take what is the saying? Like, one step forward, two steps back. It's like you can't quite get to that point. And especially in this environment where, like, at the end of this, there's an engagement. You need to ask the right questions and have enough time to get to that point. It makes it really difficult if you don't get that alone time until later on. So speaking of group dates, because you had a lot under your belt, you know, those first few weeks. Overall, what was your favorite group date of the season?
Definitely Houston. I love the football date. And I thought that was going to be the worst one that I would go on. I'm not usually big on physical activities. But it was so much fun, like getting to meet the NFL players. And I think it was cool. There definitely was drama, but we all were not following the rules. And none of us knew that. Like the winning team that I was on, I guess we were doing things that were like illegal in regular football, but we thought we were just doing so good.
Illegal.
Like I would have had no idea either. I'd been like, everything's fair game, right?
I've seen this. Right? Hey, the rules are there are no rules. Exactly.
The whistle would blow and I would just tackle the quarterback. And then after I found out you're not allowed to do that, but I think it,
wait, you're not,
you have to like wait a certain amount of seconds, but like the whistle would blow and I would just charge.
I would have too. Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, I got that sack.
But it was so fun because then the next day we were all worried, like, ah, oh, like is everyone gonna be mad at each other because we were just like tackling, but everyone was like just laughing about it. It was such a fun date. So that was my favorite.
Well, you had so much drama that took place that evening that wasn't even with anyone that was supposed to be on the group portion of that date that night, that it just took over. I want to get into some of the drama, but yes, we don't need to harp on it because we've talked at length about everything, you know, especially in terms of Shanae. Yeah. But did you feel like, because there was so much drama with her and some of the other women early on in that season, did you feel like at any point that hurt your relationship with Clayton and just really prevented it from developing any further?
Yeah. Shanae never really like affected me that much. I think for me the biggest thing was, and a lot of the other girls didn't have the luxury of this, so I know I was lucky that I felt this way, but I knew that Clayton did see my personality and he knew who I was, so I was never really that concerned about Shanae because I knew she was making up lies about girls, but I knew like if she ever lied to Clayton about me, we had a strong enough foundation that I would have at least hoped that he would have been able to see through it and be like, I know that's not who Teddy is. So she never really bothered me in that way. But I think just the drama in general, I hate drama. Being surrounded by it did like cause me to just shell up a little bit. Because she was just monopolizing the house, especially like near the end of it. And I think that was causing to me just kind of withdraw to not like be so anxious all the time. So yeah, she never really like was worrying me about if she could affect my relationship, but then it was affecting me personally, which then I guess was
just taking so much time away.
So much time.
That's like totally understandable though, because I do remember feeling somewhat of a similar way where you're like, when there's so much drama happening around you, even if it doesn't involve you, you're like, this just doesn't feel like a safe space. Exactly. Like I feel almost nervous being like totally candid, yes, and myself, because like what if something is said or done that's taken, like I don't know, it just doesn't feel like you feel like the people that are causing the drama and are participating in it, like you almost can't trust those, yeah, people. I mean, in Shanae's case you, yeah, definitely can't trust her. But I mean, I get how that can create like a very anxious environment.
Totally.
I have a question because you just had mentioned, you know, if she were to go to Clayton and spread lies, yeah, or say anything about you, that you would know you had such a solid foundation. Yeah. And it really seemed like she was going after anyone, yeah, who, you know, potentially opened themselves up to be, I would say, not that they were a target, yeah, but she kind of made them that. Like, in the house, did everyone feel like, oh my gosh, it's going to be me next? Yes. She's going to go to Clayton and make these lies and tell them whatever she has to say to save herself?
Yeah, because it never had an actual reason. Like the girl she would go after, it never made sense. So I think we all were like, it could be us next, because there, yeah, was never actually a reason. Like none of the girls she went after, it actually, there was an actual reason. It was all just basically made up. So yeah, we all kind of felt like my name could be next that like she talks to him about. And yeah, it did cause a very anxious environment for everyone.
Yeah, I would steer clear of her.
Totally.
Super, totally okay with the fact she got left in Niagara Falls. And you did not have to bring her to a bar with you all.
Yes.
So, you know, moving past Shanae, we're in Havar and you finally get that one-on-one, yeah, date. Were you surprised when you heard Clayton say your name? Like, yeah, what was your reaction?
I was surprised. By the time of Croatia, I really was like, I don't think I'm going to get a one-on-one.
Yeah, you had resting sad girl face by the time we got to Croatia.
Everyone tells me that. I'm like, I know. I can't hide my emotions. And I was sad. So, I was not expecting my name to be called. I was so excited. I felt like that was such a good week. Once it finally came, I was like, okay, this is a good week, because I already had such a strong, like, comfortability with him. So I felt like we could really go deep and we didn't have to worry about, like, small talk. So I was really excited to get it, but I was not expecting it at all. I would have picked a cuter outfit, but I was like, I'm not getting this 101 today, so I'm just going to wear something normal.
Gabby said the exact same thing, yes, because I guess she was a similar situation where, like, they were like, okay, you're going right, yeah, now. And she was like, can, mm-hmm, I choose?
Yeah, they're like, get in the car.
You're on. That night, I mean, that date just seemed, first of all, I have to say, like, you were lucky you got that 101 in Hvar, because Croatia is just beautiful in general. And so the fact that you could just explore and just be a normal couple, totally, you know, traveling and experience like this vacation together was, I was like, she's a lucky girl. But that night you sat down at dinner and opened up a bit more about your personal life and the fact that you were a virgin. How did you think he was going to handle that? And like how, I guess, I don't want to say stressful, but how nervous were you, or how heavy, yeah, was that weighing on you to share that with him in that moment? Yeah.
It was never something that I've ever been really nervous about telling a guy in the past. I think because the day portion of our date went so well, I started to gain nerves as the day went on, because I usually tell a guy really early on before I have that strong of a connection with them, to where I'm like, well, if this is something that bothers them, then like whatever, I'll just move on. But because that whole day portion went so well, like we were laughing the whole time, it was as perfect as it could have been. I was really nervous because I already at that point really liked him, so I was worried what his reaction would be. But yeah, it's something that I'm really open about, and I knew if he didn't respond well, it would just have to be, we would have to part ways. But I will say he did respond well. A lot of people did get on him because he made like a weird comment about like, well, you don't remind me of a virgin, which was,
what does that even mean?
I don't know, that was really weird.
Yeah. He was like, I mean, I never would have known.
And I was like,
well, obviously.
But yeah, I think he took it well. He asked a lot of questions and they were all very future focused in that moment of just, well, what would you do differently? Like if we had kids, cause I did have a lot of pressure growing up on my virginity. It was faith-based, but it also was just, you know, my mom had a child at a young age and then my sister had a child at a young age. So my mom was definitely stricter with me. So I think we just talked about like how I would do things differently as a mom. He asked like, well, if we have sex, like, is your mom going to hate me? So he asked like, no, my mom doesn't care.
These are some weird questions that he's asking.
Well, I'll be honest. He seemed totally shocked. His response, right? What I'm sure it sounded like you guys had a good conversation, but the part they showed, he just looked kind of deer in the headlights of like, oh my gosh, I'm shocked. Totally. I didn't expect this. I don't know how to respond. Yeah. So I am glad to hear that he, you know, there's not always like right or normal questions. So like, I'm just glad to hear that he was inquisitive and asking you, how did his response make you feel?
Yeah, I felt really like confident about it in the moment. I really did think that his questions made sense and they were all future focused to where I knew like he was taking me seriously and our relationship seriously. So I felt good about it, but yeah, I think it did cause some concerns for him and I wasn't really expecting that. I will give him credit. I think there is like a stereotype of a virgin and I don't fall under that bracket. I am very sexual and I like to talk about it and I don't mind that. And I don't think that's really normal for virgins, at least like what society sees. You know, like you see us making out like in every episode. So I understand why he was shocked, but I think that just has to go more of like that society creates this thing where like virginity equals prude and that just isn't the case. I just had a set of values that I, you know, changed as I grew up. But like, I understood why he was shocked. I think guys that I've dated have always been shocked. Like it's never been something that a guy really would guess for me. But I felt so good after that date. I really thought like, whoa, I think I might get engaged at the end of our date. So I felt really good about it in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, so then moving forward, we see you go on to the next week. You guys go to Vienna, which also seemed incredible. I want to get into like that entire week, but since we're talking about, you know, your journey with Clayton specifically and feeling so confident in that you could potentially get engaged at the end of this, that week he sent you home. And in that moment, there wasn't really much dialogue between the two of you, which I also found weird. Like I thought he was at least going to walk you out and sit down and have that conversation because I feel like you deserved that. And there really wasn't much. But you had made the comment, like, you know, I thought I was going to hometowns. Yeah. Everything that led up until this point, he made me feel so confident that I was going to be one of these top four women whose family he would meet. And so where do you think that disconnect was? And did you ever even have the time when he was sending you home to ask him that?
I will say we did get a moment that we were able to talk, but I was so shocked that I didn't ask him anything. I just couldn't, like, wrap my head around it in the moment. So I didn't say anything, and I regretted that for like weeks after I got home of just, I should have asked him more, but I also think he could have on his own said more. So I do think that moment was kind of strange, especially because we had built such a strong connection. A lot of it honestly wasn't shown, and that just had to do with so much of the drama, Shanae monopolizing a lot of things, but we were really strong and really close at that point. So him kind of just giving me like a generic goodbye, it was really hard to take in the moment. Like when he was sending me home, I just remember looking at him, and it just seemed like all of his feelings just like had vanished, and he was like, okay, well, like, I hope you know, you'll make someone happy, like, goodbye. And I was just like, what just changed? Like we were so strong a week ago. Like a week ago you were telling me this was perfect. He told me the feeling he had been waiting to feel on a one-on-one, he finally felt with me. So I was completely blindsided, but I'll take some of it that I could have asked more. And I really regretted that when I got home. But yeah, it was a really weird goodbye.
To what you just said, Teddy, Becca, I really want your take on this, because in my eyes, if you're the one doing the breaking up with, meaning like Clayton is sending you home, I think the responsibility falls on Clayton to an extent to have mentally prepared for like what he's going to say during that conversation, to be able to give that person like closure and answers, because obviously he went through it on Michelle's season at about the same time, and I'm sure he experienced to a degree shock. And I thought she did a really good job of saying like, this is my explanation for why I've made this decision, because like you've been in those shoes.
I mean, well, and I see both sides, because again, like I was on The Bachelor and I was the Bachelorette. And like Teddy, for you, like when you say you felt shocked and you didn't really even know what to ask, I was the exact same way when I got broken up with by Ari, and even during the finale when it was the first time I actually sat down and talked with him, I was so shocked still, because it's like, what do you say to somebody that's breaking up with you? Like, I don't want to have to fight for your love.
Exactly.
But at the same time, it's like, you deserve to give me something. But I just kind of hold up and put these guards up, because I was like, I don't want to give you anything. I don't know what to ask at this point. But to Clayton's credit, too, I will say that as the lead, each week, you know, you have to send people home. And so you have to mentally prepare to a certain extent for those goodbyes. And I'm, you know, if he's anything like how I kind of process things going into those rose ceremonies, you already know what's going to happen for the most part, whether it's going to be easy or not. You already kind of know who's going on to the next week and who's going to be sent home. And so I'm sure he had time to process that a bit. And that's maybe why for him, it seemed like he wasn't as emotional or vocal as he could have been, because I'm sure in his mind as man, he had processed it in a way, which, not to say like I think deserved to still sit you down and have that conversation and give you more. And that's something that you just kind of learn as time goes, because I could, when I was lead, I could put myself back into your position as a contestant and be like, well, this is how I felt when I was blindsided. This is what I would have wanted. Yeah. So I tried to go a bit slower and give the guys more time and have those conversations, especially when you're going home right before hometowns. Like, it's not like you're going home week two or week three where you don't know each other that well. Like, you guys had spent enough time together at this point to get up to nearly hometowns, where I wish he would have just had a bit more time and respect, where he sat you down and he could have even just opened it up of like, I can imagine this is so hard for you, I'm sorry for hurting you, ask me anything. Like, even if it was that, where then it kind of went back to you where you could just kind of process me, like, what do I really want to know right now? But it's weird being on both sides, and it's never easy. And even if he had time to process it, I'm sure it still hurt him after that. It just, you just, at the end of the day, kind of know what you have to do and you know the steps that you have to take. But I really do hope that at least when you see him again during the tell-all, that you have the opportunity to ask him those questions and don't leave anything up in the air. that's the worst feeling, is like having the regrets and the what ifs. And who knows, you might still have them. I know I do still to this day, and for certain situations, but you just kind of just know that everything now is in the past, and there's so much more that's going to be opened for you in the future that's exciting that you can have to look forward to in paradise. So there's still a lot to come. And as you go like through different seasons and get to meet people in this world, you kind of, I think it's easier for you to let your guards down and ask questions and open up.
Totally. I'll say that's like the biggest thing is it. Clayton, I think, was just like a lesson learned for me in like the best way possible. I feel like he was such a good person to get those lessons from because he was a safe space for me. And in my next relationship, like I will be so much more open and I will be a lot more vulnerable because of the regrets I had to see and watch week by week with him. So overall, like, I think he did like the best he could. Of course, like I wish we would have had more conversations, but I did get the closure that I needed after that. And like, we'll see more at the tell-all. So
Yes. Well, I'm definitely so excited to see the tell-all next week. Gosh. I mean, it's definitely going to be intense.
Oh, yeah.
Can we just take it back a little bit? Because I know we're going to see this at the tell-all, and I would love to get your take on it. The Mara and Sarah drama.
Oh, my gosh.
Please tell me what you think, because there was just so much that unfolded in such a short amount of time. Yeah. And obviously we saw you, Gabby, and Rachel speak on it with Clayton directly.
Yeah.
Did you have a side that you were on? Were you on nobody's side? I mean, you're also one of the younger women of the house. Yeah. How did Mara's comments resonate with you? Totally. Like, I want to know it all.
Totally. I was really shocked by the Mara and Sarah drama. Like, that wasn't looming at all. When it just happened that week, I was very surprised. And at that point, me and Sarah were good friends. Me, Rachel, and Sarah were hanging out a lot in like the beginning of the show or the weeks. So I was really surprised by that. I remember when Sarah came back with the rose and she kind of confronted all of the girls there, and Mara said that it had to do with age. That part was hard for me to listen to because I don't think age really has much to do with it. We all kind of move in life differently. And some things that I experienced at a young age, someone else might not experience until later in life or never have to experience. So I think we all grow and mature in different ways. So I don't think age has anything to do with if you're ready for marriage. I mean, child brides, I do not support, but I don't think that like a 23-year-old cannot be ready for love and like commitment with one person. So I guess when it had to do with the age portion of the argument, I would have been on Sarah's side. I think Mara had other arguments as far as confidence and words and things that Sarah was saying. I think that's kind of more where I might have been more on Mara's side. And we see that kind of come into blow in Austria. And that was kind of where me, Gabby, and Rachel ended up going to Clayton about it. So I wasn't really on a Mara or Sarah side as far as like Croatia went, but as far as age went, I didn't agree with that. But I think Mara did make good points because a lot of the girls in the house were starting to get really uncomfortable with the things Sarah was deciding to divulge to them. So yeah, Austria was definitely hard. I don't think any of us, I was not planning and I was not going to say anything to Clayton. It was kind of something that I think the girls had been talking about for a while of kind of pushing me and Rachel to say something because we were the ones that had most of the experience with Sarah at that point. And I remember telling them, like, I'm not going to say anything. Like, I don't care if Clayton says specifically, like, what is Sarah doing? Like, I will not say anything because to me at that point, I had realized that she was not telling the truth about some things. And it made me realize, okay, we might not have a friendship. And as far as a friend goes, I'm not sure how great of a friend she is, but I still don't think I can judge how great of a wife she would be. I don't think those really correlated as far as what she was doing. I think like what changed was when the therapist brought it up and called someone performative. That's kind of where it changed, where I felt like, okay, like we kind of have to now say it to Clayton. If he's asking, I can't just sit back and not say anything because that's not really fair to Clayton at that point because he's just going to be running through his head right before hometowns. Like, is one of the girls I just kept not here for the right reasons? So yeah, we did end up going to him about it. And I don't regret doing that. I think it made sense at the time. And I think he needed to be aware at that point because a lot of his strongest girls there had all kind of had feelings of wanting to leave. And it had to do with the things Sarah was telling them that weren't actually true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask you this because you had just mentioned like the drama between Mara and Sarah wasn't really looming until you got to Vienna, right? Like that's when it really exploded. Mm-hmm. But it seems like really things were looming with Sarah, whether it's with stuff she was divulging to the group and saying to you guys behind closed doors. That seems now looking back and piecing everything together that that was looming more since the beginning, early on. And so at any point, like this is a 2-part question I want to ask. At any point, did anyone confront Sarah any earlier that we just didn't see it air? Or do you now wish, and maybe you've chatted with the other women about this too, like, does anyone wish they would have confronted her earlier so it didn't have to blow up and get to the point that it did? Oh, and really, I mean, because it sounds like she made y'all feel like shit. Yeah. And it really rocked your relationships and, like, wanting to be there at certain points. Totally. I think that was a consensus of the group.
Yeah.
So does anyone wish they would have called her out earlier?
Totally. To answer your question, as far as I know, no one confronted her earlier. And I wish that we would have. I think the hard part was she would go to us all individually and off camera. So she would start it by saying, you know, because we are so close, I want to tell you what he's saying so that you can guard your heart. So when you're phrasing it like that, like you just aren't having a friend coming and talking to you.
Is this like late night bedroom chat?
Yeah, it's like sneaking into each other's rooms at night, like not really supposed to be doing that. But she would phrase it as being your best friend. And I am very naive to that. I love having a lot of friends. And I was thankful in the moment because again, like I did want to guard my heart. And when someone's phrasing it in a way that they're doing it to be your friend, I didn't feel like that was something I should tattle or tell someone, talk about like to someone else. But she would do that to everyone, but none of us knew because none of us were talking about it because we all thought she was just going to us and just as our best friend. But really she was doing it to every person that had a strong relationship with him. So I didn't feel in the moment like there was anything to confront because I thought it was coming from pure intentions. Looking back, I think we all wish we would have by week 2 after she got her one-on-one confronted her in that moment, but we didn't know that it was happening. We didn't think there was malintent in the moment.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting hearing everything back now from you women because there, like you said, there's so much I think that everyone missed. Like I can't even imagine being in your position and piecing it together with everyone else. But it just seemed like, and again, like I don't know Sarah that well. Yeah. We've only had her on the podcast once and I hosted the date with her for 2 seconds and basically made her get down into her underwear. But it seems like from everything she was saying and doing to you all, it's so manipulative.
Totally. And I think like one thing that I want to clear up is it wasn't that she was making us insecure in our relationships with things that were true. It was just the fact that it ended up not even being true. And it wasn't things that we were asking. It wasn't like we were saying, can you tell us what Clayton is telling you? It would always just her starting the conversation and her saying, hey, I want to tell you as your friend. I think that's where it got difficult was where we found out that the things she was saying were not actually true. So there were some things that she would say that made me feel, I mean, I'll just say, and I think this was said in the episode, it was the strongest relationship. She went to me individually, Rachel individually, Gabby individually, and Susie individually. And we all had times since week 2 that we all felt like, I don't know if I should stay still because if he's telling her these things this early on, why am I here? And why am I sharing things about my family? Why am I sharing myself if he's already made his decision? And again, he wasn't saying those things, but we didn't know that. So I think that's where it was hard of, I still in that moment, you see me in the episode being like, well, I just don't know if she knows what she's doing. But I think she did because it wasn't just, oh, maybe her perception was different than reality. She thought that she was the strongest relationship because I think we all thought we were the strongest relationship because we don't see his conversations with the other girls. But I think it was just actually the things she was saying were false, that there can't really be pure intentions behind that when it's actually lies that were being told to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't like she was just like throwing out her feelings for Clayton at breakfast to the group. Yeah. Like it was intentional. Totally. It was targeted to specific women and it was not true.
And it was consistent. Yeah. That's the thing. Yes. It wasn't just like a one and done situation. Watching everything back now, being part of the Women Tell All and just, you know, kind of putting a bow on this chapter in your life, watching everything. Is there anything that completely shocked you, that you wished you would have addressed, mm-hmm. that just like you were blown away when you saw or heard it?
I don't think so. I think it honestly was just good closure watching back, because again, I thought I did have the strongest relationship just from my interactions with him, and watching it back, it was honestly good to see that he had a lot of other strong relationships too. And it was good closure for me to realize, okay, maybe this girl actually does make more sense for him, or maybe this girl did bring out a different side of him that I didn't. I think the drama in general just shocked me, because I kind of stayed out of it. If I heard someone raise their voice, I would run in the other direction. So a lot of the drama was shocking to see. A lot of Shanae's interviews that, you know, none of us saw in the moment, those were completely shocking.
There's so much you miss when you're not with the person in the interview room. Like, they can really, as we've learned, spew whatever they want to spew out. And so, like, what was that like for you and all the women hearing that?
So crazy. And I'll say, for me, and I do regret this, me and Susie were girls that really were honestly kind of trying to argue Shanae's point of view. I was completely on the other side the whole time, because she was targeting my friends and I knew them. I knew that what Shanae was saying wasn't true. But I also never want someone to feel ganged up on. So I would try to be the voice of reason for Shanae, of maybe this is actually what she's meaning to do. So I think watching those interviews back and saying, oh no, she really was just playing all of us. She really came off, at least when I was around, as like very like meek and like quiet. And she would be like, I don't know, like, I'm just sorry, like, I just feel bullied. And then instantly we would see her in an interview like, I just tricked all of those girls. So it was hard to watch, just because I was played, and that's something that I guess I got played a lot during the season with some of the girls. But yeah, she was the most shocking for sure. Those interviews were crazy. Yeah. None of us were expecting that. Like, we knew Shanae had some issues and she was kind of crazy, but her interviews were a lot worse than I think any of us were ever imagining.
Right.
Yeah. I had Queen Victoria on my season. Ooh, so I can definitely relate to watching back right. and seeing shocking interviews. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, she is a shocking person. Yeah. All of the time, in and out of interviews. But some of the things that I remember seeing, I was like, whoa, Victoria, where did that one come from?
Overall, now you've lived the season of The Bachelor. There's, like I said earlier, there's so much more to come. But ultimately, like, now going through this journey, I hate saying journey, but going through this journey, how has it changed you and just your outlook or approach to finding love in the future?
Yeah, I feel like it's changed it so much. I think while I was there, I never wanted to be completely honest of my feelings, especially that had to do with love, because I felt like once you say that, you can't take it back. And once you say that, that's when the pain happens. But I think I realized, no, you're going to feel pain either way. When I went home, I had to deal with heartbreak, plus the fact that I did regret not being completely honest about how I was feeling. I always felt like I had more time with him and I wanted to wait for these perfect moments. So I think the biggest lesson that I learned was you just have to create a perfect moment with the person that you're with. I'm a lot more open to love now because of this experience. And I am a lot more just able to feel what I want to feel. And I think there's a lot more courage and power in being vulnerable and just like wearing my heart in my sleeve more than I feel like I have in the past.
I love that. Those are great words. And I love that you just said it's about you creating that right moment. You know, no one else or a show can't necessarily do that for you. I think there's so much power in those words.
Yeah. I think that's something I learned as well, is like, it's not always about like where you are or what you're doing. It's like whatever feels like the perfect moment for you and like when you feel ready, which is something I learned on Paradise. Segue alert. Teddy,
yes, yes.
Would you go to the beautiful beaches of Mexico this summer if you were asked?
Yeah, I'll say I think I completely believe in this experience. It didn't work out for me on The Bachelor, but I fully believe that if it's the right person, that this can work. And I think especially Paradise, you spend so much time with the person that you're with. I think if The Bachelor ever calls you and asks you to do something, I think you should say yes. Obviously think about it, but I'll just say yes. If I am offered it, I think there's a good chance that I would go.
Yay! I love getting a direct answer when we ask that question. Because sometimes people don't know.
Yeah, well, and I will say this, coming from somebody who said no to Paradise for a long time before I actually said yes, say yes. It is so worth it. It has,
you're talking to two very biased people right now.
Very biased. But I will say this. Going through The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and Paradise, out of all three of those seasons, Paradise was by far the most fun. That's the most fun. Like, you know, I'm so lucky to have found Thomas and found lasting love. But even just the scenario that it's co-ed, you have equal male and female, and the food's great, the weather's incredible. Like, it's just, it's so worth it. If you can go, I would definitely say go. Which now, if you do go, give me, don't hold back, give me 2 to 3 guys that you would really want to see on that beach.
Okay. I'll say, first of all, I haven't met any of them in person.
Nice. Keep it that way.
Have any slid into your DMs?
No.
We do know that somebody, and I'm not going to give it away, somebody special did slide into your DMs that you talked about on Tell All. But apart from that, who slid into your DMs?
No, wait. Should you expose them?
Yes, expose them. I asked Rodney the same question a couple days ago.
I'm going to say no one slid in my DMs, which might be a lie, but I'm going to leave it at that. But I will say my three guys that I'm interested in. I'm very big on personality. And like I've said, like my first initial reaction that I have to someone in person is really important to me. So I am open to anyone when I get there. But right now the guys that I am interested in would be, Andrew Spencer.
I can see it.
I've heard really great things about Brandon. And then back in the day, Ben from Tayshia's season.
Okay.
Those who I'm interested in. I also just met Rodney a couple days ago, and he's very cute. So
I love Rodney. Oh my gosh, I could see this. I will say, so I'll be on tour with both Rodney and Andrew. So I'll get a feel for them. Yeah, I'll vet them for you and let you know who I think would be great.
I love that you throw out names. Like, get it, Teddy. I feel like I didn't know who I actually wanted to meet. Like, I genuinely, that was my honest answer. Like, I had no idea. But I feel like if I did have names, I would not have been confident enough to be like, I can't let the world know that I have a crush. So good for you. Like, that takes confidence, and I like it.
And it's like everyone has somebody that catches their eye, whether it's on the show or not. And so I hate when people play coy. It's like you could spew out anyone's name from Bachelor, you know.
Yeah, you're not asking them to marry you.
Totally.
Okay, one more question, Teddy. What is next for you? You know, we know maybe Paradise is on the horizon. Fingers crossed, I would personally love to see you there. Right now, what are your next steps?
I'm just going to enjoy watching the rest of the season. I'm so excited to not see my face on TV for a little bit and just watch my best friends. Get back to work. I'm a nurse, so I'm going to start working and get a bit, maybe go to the gym now that I'm going to be on Paradise.
Yeah, girl.
I was not invited yet, so.
Okay, I'm sure that call will be coming very, very soon. I have no doubt that they will reach out to you.
I think just like enjoy my time. I made so many friends. I think this is so cliche, but I made friends that I really believe I will have forever. And I'm just excited to get to hang out with them in public and just really like root for each other. It was so fun at the tell-all after. We just had like a giant slumber party. So I'm just excited to like be friends with each other and like just root for each other in public. And I'm just happy for my life right now. So I'm excited.
I love that. Well, I'm happy for your life too. There's so much wonderful, fun things to come. I can't wait to, hopefully see more of Miss Teddy. Okay, before we let you go, we play our Bachelor Superlatives game. So it's basically rapid fire. Serena and I are going to ask you a most likely to question, and you'll just finish the sentence with one of the women that was on Clayton's season. So to kick it off, out of everyone on Clayton's season, who was most likely to get the party started?
Ooh, probably Genevieve.
All right, who is most likely to get the ladies laughing?
Gabby, for sure. She is absolutely hilarious. What you see on TV is her in real life. She is hilarious.
I love Gabby. Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, obviously, we know she makes it to top three. I don't know who makes it all the way. But I would also love to see Gabby on Paradise. I feel like she would be so
Queen
damn hilarious. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Okay, who is the best cook?
Ooh. I don't know. I never really ate anyone's cooking. I think Elizabeth made a lot of food for people, though. So I'll give it to her.
I think other people have mentioned her, too.
Yeah. Her and Kate.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love
Kate. Who is the first person to wake up in the morning?
Ooh. I don't know who would wake up early in the morning because I was usually asleep. Susie got up the latest, though. I can say that.
A woman after my own heart. Who was Miss Congeniality?
Ooh, I would say Susie.
Who had the best smile in the house?
I love Rachel's smile. It's so sweet and like, yeah, I would go with Rachel.
Okay. Best dressed?
Ooh, Eliza.
Yeah, she had a great wardrobe.
Or Serene. She had really good dresses.
Yeah, they both did.
Did Hunter go home in Serene's night one gown?
I wouldn't be surprised. We were switching dresses around every week. Mm-hmm. Gabby's first night dress, I think, was worn like 4 times.
Yes, I think I've seen the photos on Instagram of everyone wearing the same dress.
Oh my God, yeah, I saw that. Serene definitely wore that like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that you guys are all sharing clothes. Who is the biggest gossip?
Probably Shanae in her interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Who's most likely to steal Clayton during the... Oh, wait. Okay. Who's most likely to steal Clayton first at a cocktail party?
She didn't make it far, but Cassidy definitely was the one that liked to get going first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Started in the middle of my question. Who was the first to go to bed?
Ooh. I liked to get a lot of sleep. So me and Susie were in the same room in the mansion, and we both would be in bed, like, looking across from each other, like, while everyone else was up staying asleep.
Wait, what room were you in?
I was in one of the smaller rooms. So we had, like, a really good room. It was me, Rachel, Serene, Susie, Mara. I'm leaving someone out, and they're not going to be happy. But
did you get assigned your rooms?
In the mansion, yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't.
But it worked out perfectly because I became close with like, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I was in the big room, which obviously had the most space, but like, mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. Somebody brought 7 suitcases and there was no extra walking room in there. So for like the two or three weeks we were there, it was a maze. I would like have to tiptoe around.
Yeah, that's who I'm missing. Melina was in my room too, and she brought like 7 suitcases, and we were in the small room.
Oh, so God.
It was, you couldn't walk anywhere. We would just be stepping on everything.
Did anyone keep their luggage out on the balcony?
Yes.
Okay, that's what we did too on the season as
well. Imagine being the girl who brought 7 suitcases and going home night one. Like, oh, that would just be so heartbreaking.
Well, that was like one of the girls on Ari's season. I love her. Her name was Lauren Schleyer. She is still a dear friend. She's incredible. But she brought 7 suitcases and went home within the first week.
Lauren, no.
Selfishly, she had luckily left some stuff because she went on a one-on-one and got sent home. So she left like this really great swimsuit, this really wonderful jean jacket, which Lauren, I still have your jean jacket to this day. It's in safekeeping. But yeah, that's the one thing I will say about that's different from like Serena when you were on the season when you had like your separate room.
Oh yeah, it was just me and Rachel in like a gorgeous room with like a bathroom with a double sink and a bathtub and a
stop crying.
We're living so nice. In we're luxury. In
that's so nice.
People we tried to hotwire the TV, it did not work.
Like people get so excited about being in the mansion because obviously it's iconic, but what they don't realize is there's zero extra room for anything, especially at the beginning when there's so many women. It's crazy town.
Totally.
Which I guess is a good segue into the next superlative. Who was the messiest?
I would have to say Melina, just because she was in my room. Her hair and her suitcases were everywhere, but I love her.
Okay, who is most likely to be found lounging by the pool?
Ooh, probably Gabby. She loved to just not do anything and just lay by the pool and be like, can someone bring me a drink?
Everyone says Gabby for that one. Everyone says Gabby. All right. Who, and you can give us a couple names because I know one is tough for this one, but who is most likely to be a bridesmaid in your wedding?
Aw. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have a long line of people because I just love everyone from my season. I would say the girls I got extremely close with, definitely Rachel, definitely Hunter. I got really close with Jill and Lindsay. Serene, I love so much. So
you'll have a big bridal party.
Yeah.
You'll have a huge bridal party. All right, Teddy, it has been so fun. Before we let you go, we have a little tradition here on Bachelor Happy Hour, which we all go and share our rose and our thorn. So I'll kick it off. I'm going to do just for the week that I watched, okay. but you can do, because you experienced so much, you can do overall yeah. your rose and thorn of the season.
Okay.
So my rose of the week during Hometowns, it has to go to Gabby's grandpa. I want him, like I said, to be my grandpa. He is incredible. He gets all of my roses for the entire season. I am obsessed with him. My thorn is going to be the fact that Clayton sent one of the best dressed women home. I really liked Serena. It was sad to see her go. And I'm going to miss seeing all of her incredible outfits.
I know. She's a good one.
Okay, my rose, I have two roses this week. My first one is watching Clayton try to jump off that really tall platform and like yes. watching him like hype himself up, be like, come on, Clayton, like, you got this.
Oh my God.
It was absolutely hysterical. And I could watch that on repeat. And then my second one is Rachel's, the beginning of her hometown, Clayton's coming towards her and she's like trying to hype him up to do the run, jump, hug thing. And she's like, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? I've never seen that before. I thought it was so funny.
She's so cute. Mm-hmm.
And then my thorn of the week is going to be them not miking up Gabby's dad and just having him hold cue cards with the writing.
So true.
I was so frustrated watching that whole scene because it was so beautiful, but I wanted him to speak to his daughter, like, mm-hmm. using his voice.
Say anything. Anything at all.
Literally, hello, I love you at the end would have been perfect.
I would say my rose was just probably the friendships that I made. And honestly, a lot of the stuff that just couldn't be shown because it's only a two-hour episode every week. But the girls got so close. Like, we would have dance parties every night. We just sat around. We would talk about our childhoods and like we would just comfort each other and cry with each other. So I think just those moments that probably weren't really shown on the show of us becoming real life best friends while we were there mm-hmm. is my rose. My thorn is probably maybe just being a little bit naive to some of the girls and just allowing myself to be manipulated. And then just not allowing myself to fully be open and honest about my feelings. But I think it was just a lesson learned, and I'm excited for the future of getting to just tell anyone that I love them right away.
Well, we are excited to see what your future holds. Study, it has been such a pleasure having you on. Thank you for joining us. And like we said earlier, I hope we see more of you in a very special warm place one day.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Take care, Teddy.
Thanks, you guys. Teddy.
She's so sweet. I have to say, I mean, we did not see nearly enough of her on camera throughout this season, but from everything that I've heard from people who know her, from the contestants to the producers, they all have nothing but sweet, sweet things to say about her. So I'm so glad we were finally, finally able to have her on.
Yeah, I like Teddy so much. This was such a fun interview to do with her. And I am really hoping we see her in Paradise this season. I don't know why. I just get a good feeling about her time and her journey there. And I just love, and I want everyone from this season to find it, preferably on a beach in June.
I know. Well, like you said, I mean, we might be a little biased to the beaches of Paradise, but
yeah, don't get me wrong, it sucks most days, but then it ends up so magical.
I loved it. I know.
I mean, I have different feelings towards Paradise.
I was also very, I'm like downplaying it now. I was so anxious the entire time. Like, I'm making it seem like it was the best month of my life. It truly wasn't. But looking back now, I have nothing but fond memories. So I really hope she and other deserving people from the past seasons can go and experience that as well. Such a pleasure to have Teddy on. There's a lot that goes down during Women Tell All. I mean, you guys, you will truly not want to miss this. So many shocking moments, so many shocking things that were said that, like, even for me, who I feel like I've seen and done everything in this franchise, like, I'm still blown away by everything. So please make sure you tune in next week. It's a little bit of a different week. So Monday will actually be Women Tell All, and then Tuesday will be Fantasy Suites. So we have a lot to cram into in these next 2 weeks before the finale. But Serena, thank you again for joining me today. It was so much fun. And a huge thank you to all of our Bachelor Happy Hour listeners. I've said it every week, but as a reminder, we are casting for both The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So make sure you head to BachelorNation.com/apply to nominate either yourself or somebody else.
And make sure to hit us up on social. You can follow us at Bachelor Happy Hour on Instagram. And from there, you will find everything that you need to know to follow us on TikTok and Twitter.
And Bachelor Happy Hour is available on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen. And you can always listen ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And be sure to tune in next week because you know it's going to be a good one.
So good. Thanks, everyone.
So this year, I'm really focused on my health, sticking to a routine, and that's why I've been loving Symbiotica. Symbiotica is one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies out right now, and they're one of the only brands that are wholly committed to your health. They don't use any seed oils, no preservatives or toxins in their supplements. They source the best ingredients from all around the world, and they're super easy to take when you're on the go. They also taste good.
I try to stay really consistent with my morning routine, and something that I always include is taking my supplements every single day. I've been taking these Symbiotica supplements and loving them. My goal has been to support my immune system with the supplements that I've been taking, so I've been taking them every morning with my coffee and my breakfast. Joe does as well, and I've been really loving the results that I've been seeing.
My routine, I have my eggs in the morning, I take a Symbiotica, and I'm ready to take on the day, hit the gym, I'm more alert. I just feel good. What's even better is that Symbiotica makes it a breeze to stay on track. With a subscription, your supplements arrive at your doorstep every month. Ready to feel the results? Head over to Symbiotica.com and use Bachelor for 15% off your subscription order.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.